in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. Back from Costa Rica. This week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot is being brought to you live from the Durand Railroad days. Yes, we are on location recording the show live from the Durand Railroad days in Durand, Michigan. Now, I want to give you a little tidbit on Michigan weather. If the railroad days, whatever weekend they fall on, don't plan anything because the weather is guaranteed to be horrible. I have been coming to this festival for 10, 12 years now, and every single weekend, the weather is horrible. Right now, as I'm outside looking, there is clouds all over the place. It's windy. I've kind of stuck myself into a little culvert or a little corner, so I'm trying to avoid the wind so you don't pick that up. It's about 50 degrees, and there is a rain coming and a lot of it, so I'm trying to get this show in real quick, but As I said before, we're back from Costa Rica. We got in late, or I should say early Friday morning. By the time we rolled into bed, it was almost 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, I get a call about 10 o'clock from one of my buddies saying, "Hey, Tom, Durand Railroad days are this weekend." I said, "Yeah, I saw the forecast. It's horrible. I figured as much." He says, No. "They got a spot for a vendor. Why don't you do your show there? I already talked to my buddy who's on the committee. He said he'd love it. No charge. They just want it filled." I said, "Well, heck, I'll give them a little donation. Anything I can do to help the community." So here I am outside. And if you hear any commotion, people, cars, wind, birds, carnival rides, whatever, that's why. But it is a horrible, horrible day. It's every single year. You can have great weather the weekend before. You can have great weather the weekend after. But the weekend of the Durand Railroad days, always horrible. So anyway, let's get on with the show. Hey, again, I'm back from Costa Rica. Had a phenomenal, I mean a phenomenal time. The weather, as I said, I was a little worried about the weather because everything the forecast was showing me, it was pretty much you're going to be sitting in rain. That was not the case. It rained one day. We got into Costa Rica at about 11:30 local time on Sunday. Rest of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday were beautiful. Wednesday, we got about 2 hours of rain, about 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And I told you, I mentioned to you that I will be sitting at the pool with drink in hand while it's raining. And guess what? That's where I was. How many times am I going to be in Costa Rica? Probably never again. So there I am, it's pouring rain. The water in the pool is like bath water, so the cold rain, I'm trying to stay as much submerged as I possibly can without drowning. But the rest of the week, rest of the time there, after 12 o'clock on Wednesday, beautiful. Sun out, hot is all get out. Oh my gosh, you're much closer to the equator there, and that sun is, wow. That is hot, and it is burning. But we had a great time, my wife and I. We went zip lining, snorkeling, which, oh, God, that I don't know how people do it. We went by the shore. I was good by the shore because I could see the bottom. I could kind of see around me. But the wife's out there ways going, "Tom, come on out. Look at this." So I start going out there, and all of a sudden the bottom, I mean literally the bottom of the ocean drops out. I can't see the bottom. I can barely see her. The water's cloudy. I'm like, uh-uh. No way, because I can't see what's coming up from below me. But we saw great things under the water. Sea urchins, pufferfish. What else did we see? Starfish, octopus. Beautiful fish, schools of fish. Swam around with some of them. It was just a great time. And I'm telling you, if you've never done the all-inclusive, holy cow, what a treat that was. You want room service at 10 o'clock in the morning after eating breakfast at 8? Call them up. Paid for. at the pool, they have a swim-up bar. All you do is you have your drink, go get another one, have a drink, go get another one, have a drink, go get another one. Now, granted, I don't think there was any alcohol in there because Monday we had an off day where we came in Sunday, kind of got acclimated, had a welcome dinner, and then Monday we had nothing going on, so we sat by the pool all day, and we befriended a couple couples from GM from around the country, and we were just sitting on what we call the island. It's a little platform on the, in the pool. And sat there all day just talking and having some drinks. And any other time, I probably would have been floating out of that pool. I would have been so drunk, but I was fine. But it didn't take away. It wasn't my intention to get drunk because as a representative of my dealership, I do want to make a good impression. So anyway, Costa Rica was amazing. What I was not prepared for is the living conditions there. Now, I knew they were, well, they're not the most, affluent country in the world, but the shuttle from the airport to the resort, we're passing places that I don't even know can be called shacks. They've got the corrugated tin roof as their roof, their siding, they cut a hole out for the door, they cut a hole out for the window. That's it. So we take for granted a lot of what we have. So it made me really appreciate everything that I have here, everything that has been given to me, my job, the people I work for. It really makes me appreciate it. So, you know, we take for granted living in this country or living in a country that, by any other standards, we would be living like kings and queens anywhere else. Here, you know, we're middle class, some upper class, some lower class, but you take any one of my listeners and put them in Costa Rica, they are on the higher end of the pay scale. But the people there are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. Yes, most of my time was spent in the resort where I'm sure they're paid to be at your beck and call, but even the people we talked to outside of the resort. Now, we didn't travel outside a lot, only when we had to and with a group, but we talked to people, and everybody speaks pretty much English down there. It's a second language, but everybody was just amazing. So if you have a chance, go to Costa Rica. Great, great time. But now let's get on with the show, right? That's what we're here for. As you can imagine, being out of country, I had little to no access for news. I had no idea what was happening from one minute to the next outside of my little resort. So when I got back, I tried my best to do as much research as I can. I've got a couple stories here that some are political. I mean, we all know the witch hunt. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about some supernatural, some space again, some paranormal. And then we're going to have a Brian Maddow Award. I'll be honest with you on the Brian Maddow Award. This one was sitting on the back burner for a time like this when I didn't have time to do much research. So this one is probably one you've already heard of, but they deserve it nonetheless. So when we come back, I'm going to talk to you real quickly about my thoughts on this quote-unquote witch hunt that Donald Trump says is being perpetuated by the liberals against his White House. So we will be right back. Thanks for joining me. What? Okie dokie. We got rain coming in, folks. I got to pack it up for a minute. I'll be right back. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Okay, all of my listeners, again, I'm going to implore you, please, after you get done with this show, share it, talk about it, like it, comment on the show, do whatever you can to get the word of the Paranormal Patriot out in the streets. I have no advertising budget. What I have is my phenomenal, loyal listeners. Again, all I ask, listen to the show, like it, comment on the show so everybody can see that you are listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and then share the show. Say, hey, I listened to the show. Love it. You should try it. You should listen to it too. If you can do that, I will forever be grateful. Again, I'm not going to shower you with a wealth of riches, but I will tell you, you'll get your name on the show. Woohoo! What a bargain that is. Everybody wants their name on the radio, right? But please, share the show. And when you do, drop me a line. Send me an email to theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com and tell me, hey, Tom, just wanted to let you know I shared the show. Let me know who is doing their part so I can give you the recognition you deserve. In advance for your support, we here at the Paranormal Patriot thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So, as I said earlier, being in Costa Rica, I had no access to news. I was as blind as a bat as to what was going on in this country. I'm not paying the outrageous international rates just to see that Donald Trump was getting bashed again. Yeah, there was CNN, but it was in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, and I can only assume they were given negative stories about our president, which wouldn't be surprising, seeing that a recent study just came out and said during the first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency, 80% of the news stories by the mainstream media were negative stories. The highest amount of positive stories was 48% by Fox News. The quote-unquote fair and balanced, although they tend to lean conservative, news organization, 48% of the news stories were positive, 52% were negative. CNN was 84 to 85% negative. And they want to talk about freedom of speech. They want to talk about diversity. They want to talk about being able to speak your mind. There's none of that in the mainstream media. It doesn't happen now. You, my listeners, and I are being systematically brainwashed. And look at it this way. Let's look at the media as, if you remember high school, as the bully in high school. And he picked on you and he picked on you and he laughed at you all the time. And it bothered you, which it should. You know, nobody should be treated that way. Just know that your media heroes are doing the same thing to you now. They give you this ridiculous story, regardless of what it is. They give you a horrendous story about Donald Trump and completely manipulate the facts. And then just walk off stage and laugh. Hee, 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 hee. These guys are going to buy that lock, stock, and barrel. And we do. We take what the media tells us and looks at it as gospel. Even though we know that the media has an agenda. That they are going to manipulate the facts. They are going to create their own facts to further their agenda. But we listen to it. And we regurgitate what they say. And the newscasters and the quote-unquote journalists, they're just in the background snickering because we believe it. We can tell these schlubs anything they want, and they'll believe it because we're the media. Case in point, this special inquiry into the Russian ties of Donald Trump. And again, I want to reiterate, and it was just reiterated by Maxine Waters, that they have had no evidence of any type of collusion against Trump. But they're going to create a special investigation group for it, to investigate this, to make sure there was no wrongdoing, because what it looks like is nobody can believe that Hillary Clinton lost the election. No way could Hillary have lost that election unless there was an outside influence. But what don't people get about the fact that she was a horrible candidate? Joe Biden said as much. That she was corrupt. People could see the corruption But it doesn't matter. People don't want to realize that. People don't want to understand that. They just want to look at the fact that the media is telling them, oh, Donald Trump has Russian ties. And they go with it. Not going and doing any fact-checking. Everybody in the world will fact-check anything Donald Trump says. But nobody wants to fact-check anything the media says because the media are like the Pope here. Oh, they can't lie. They're the media. The media in this country does one thing very well, and that is lie through their teeth. But there is a special inquiry going on right now to determine whether Donald Trump had ties to Russia and if the Russians manipulated the election. And then Donald Trump tweeted, this is a political witch hunt. This is the worst thing to happen in U.S. politics. And again, I've gone on this show many times and said, I think it's great that Donald Trump tweets because he completely circumvents the media so they can't manipulate his words. They can't misconstrue what he says and change it to make it sound ridiculous. But I'm now at the point that this guy needs to shut up. He does nothing to help his administration. He goes on there. He tweets. I don't know who is looking at these tweets and saying, that's probably not a good idea, Mr. President. Because that person needs to be fired. Because some of these tweets that our president, and I say our president because that's what it is, it's our president. Some of these tweets our president is putting out there, I just look at it going, how did that get through? Because all that's going to do is fan the flames of the media. So he goes out there and he posts a post on Twitter. He tweets on Twitter and says, oh, this is a political witch hunt, worst in American history. So what does that make the CNNs and the MSNBCs, ABCs, CBS, NBCs of the world do? Well, this is no Watergate. This is worse than Watergate. This is electoral or election manipulation. This doesn't happen in America. Well, we as an American government do it all the time in other countries, but that's okay. But if another country tries to do it to our election, which, again, you can sit there and have the facade in your head that these elections are not rigged, that there's not any voter fraud. You can live that dream. But that's what it is. It's a dream. There's plenty of voter fraud. There's plenty of manipulation in our elections. But nobody wants to believe that. Everybody thinks I'm ridiculously lunatic for even thinking that. But again, I look at things with an open mind. I don't listen to what the media tells me and then just says, okay, that's what it is. But there's way too many of us that do. But Donald Trump, I can't put my hands around this because if he just shut up, if he would just let things blow over, because that's what they're going to do. They're not going to find anything on the Russians. Sure, now you have, somebody talking to Paul Ryan, the Republican leader. I forgot his name right now. God, I can't believe I did that. But anyway, talking to Paul Ryan, and somehow the conversation got recorded where they were supposedly joking, saying, oh yeah, Putin has Donald Trump on his payroll. So of course that goes out. And now there's leaked audio stating that Donald Trump had planned on firing Comey long before, because it was very, very, it was a very pressurized, very stressful situation having Comey in charge while they were investigating Russia, so we need to get rid of him. Well, first off, every story, if you look at it, comes from the New York Times or the Washington Post. Where are they getting this information? Why is it every time there's a Michael Flynn or Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump has an important conversation, it's recorded? Why is that? Who is recording this? And it appears this day and age, anonymous sources hold a lot of value. Where before, anonymous sources, you looked at somebody and said, well, anonymous sources say, and you're just like, give me the name and then we'll talk. Now, this anonymous source says that he got it from an anonymous source who got it from an anonymous source, that Donald Trump was caught on tape saying that he's on Vladimir Putin's payroll. So three anonymous sources are saying they have a tape. So now that is, oh, that's a story. That's breaking news. And that's gospel because it happened. I could go on here and say, hey, I have an anonymous source that says the world is going to be blown up by the Iranians in 24 hours. My anonymous source says so. So if I'm the mainstream media, I am regurgitating that to the population and saying that, hey, I've got an anonymous source, and the American people are going to go, oh, anonymous source? They're as reliable as you can get. Well, if they're an anonymous source, just their anonymity takes away their credibility. If you're going to put something out there, you better have a name attached to it. As I said before, in the past, if you didn't have a name attached to it, whatever. But now anonymous sources are the go-to. You don't want to give your name? What do you got? Hell, I could make up stories under the guise of an anonymous source. And to be honest with you, I think that's what the mainstream media is doing. Is anything going to come out of this witch hunt, as Donald Trump says? I don't know. Again, there's stories out that there's tapes and there's transcripts of video or audio. It's all hearsay, and none of it is coming from a credible source. But every single story is coming from the Washington Post or the New York Times. Do they have such a good investigative reporting division that those are the only two departments or only two rags that can break the story? Or is it that they have an agenda to destroy the Trump presidency and just go on and make up stories and use the anonymous source? I think the latter is true because it's been proven that the Washington Times, the New York Post are still, beyond me, very respected. And it has been proven that you can get away with a story by using anonymous sources. They will run that story. The people who read it will run with it. And it just spreads like wildfire. That is why I say we are losing the fight. Because people don't want to fact check the media. They'll fact check any Republican till the cows come home. But the ones who are giving you the stories, giving you your news, for some reason, we don't feel as if we should fact check them. You tell me. Am I a little off base here? What do you think is going to happen with this special inquiry, special investigation on the Trump-Russian ties? Is there something there? Or is it just another ploy to delegitimize a Trump presidency? I don't know. While I was gone, as soon as I hit Miami Airport, I get message after message after message. And one of them was from my daughter, and God bless her. She's getting on board. She says, hey, I know you've been gone for a while. This is my, how old is she now? 15-year-old daughter, 14-year-old daughter. Oh, my God, how old is my daughter? 15-year-old daughter. Good God. 15-year-old daughter saying, hey, I know you've been out of the country. Here's what's been happening. God love her. She talked about Trump and the witch hunt and all the stories coming out saying, yeah, he did it. Then she says, in North Korea, sent off another missile, and this one was successful, and this one has the potential to hit the United States. What do we do with North Korea? We can sanction them all we want. The problem is the country is already impoverished. The elite are going to get what they need. They don't care that the people are starving. They can't be much more worse off than they already are. So what are sanctions going to do? Obviously, sanctions aren't scaring this guy. Do we bomb him? Do we act militarily? Do you try and negotiate with this guy? Can you negotiate with this guy? I don't know, but it's getting real now. Because, again, this missile can now hit the United States. And we all know that this guy, this leader, Kim Jong-il, he is not playing with a full deck of cards. He is looking after legacy. And he would not be opposed to just lighting one of those missiles off towards the good old US of A. So what do we do? Do we let him light one off? Do we let him lob one over here and hope that our missile defense system knocks it out of the sky? And then what? Do we scold him? Don't do that again, sir. Do we put sanctions on him? Or do we then say, all right, we gave you enough chances. You poked the bear's up and awake now. You know, I posed a question a couple episodes back about the bombing in Syria, the Moab bomb against ISIS. And I mean, literally, it's half and half. My audience is split as to whether or not they agree that bombing another country is the right thing to do. I don't want a war. I really don't. So I don't have an answer. Part of me says, you can't bomb those people. Those are innocent civilians. But then again, you can't have that regime poking at us, lighting missiles off. Now we know they can hit the mainland. Do we just wait? Do we wait for it to happen and have our citizens of this country, our innocent lives destroyed? I don't know. Because if you start going into Korea, who else is going to join the fray? It's a tough one. It really is. So let me know what you think. Do we bomb Korea ahead of time, a preemptive strike? Do we continue sanctions, or do we just wait it out? Maybe this guy will get sick and tired of just throwing bombs. Hey, that missile worked. Ooh, that one didn't. Oop. Hey, look, two in a row, that worked. Until he gets tired of doing it and says, okay, on to the next thing. Let me know what you think. www.theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. Alrighty, we will be right back. We are going to have a little bit of reminiscing about a star that is having some very strange happenings around it. And then I want to talk to you about a question one of my listeners submitted to me. And I want to bring this, it's going to start a new segment of the show, Ask the Patriot. Any questions you have, ask me, and I am going to answer them. And this will be the first segment of it. So sit back, relax, grab something to drink. I don't care what it is, milk, juice, beer. I don't care. Pina colada, because I had a lot of them in Costa Rica. God, I love that drink. Anyway, we will be right back. This is Tom Velasquez, and you are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. You've heard me talk about them before, and I'm going to continue to talk about them because they're a good bunch of people, and I want to help them with their exposure. The Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. If you've had an unexplained encounter in the Southern Michigan or surrounding area, you owe it to yourself to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. They can be contacted at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Anything you can't explain, contact them. They will come out. They will do an investigation, and they will determine what it is you may have encountered. You may, if you are lucky, have the presence of the one and only Richard Knox as part of the investigation, as Richard Knox is a member of the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. So again, if you've had any type of unexplained encounter in the Southern Michigan or surrounding area, you owe it to yourself to contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. They can be contacted at sm_bfrg at hotmail.com. Alrighty, we are back. Now, it might have been 4 or 5 months ago. I talked about a star in the solar system, in the vast expanses of space. Star KIC 8462854. Now, sometimes nicknamed Tabby Star. I talked about this star because it had an odd situation happening to it. It would dim, and then it would come back to normal magnitude. And then it would dim and then come back to normal magnitude. So there were rumors that there may be an alien city floating or alien structures floating around or in orbit around that star. Then everybody said, nope, it's meteorites. We're good. They should be fine. Well, now things are getting a little bit more interesting. The most mysterious star in the Milky Way is at it again. Astronomers are sounding the alarm as telescope observations detected unusual light patterns coming from the distant star, which is located about 1,300 light years away from Earth in the constellation of Cygnus, which is at the outer edges of our galaxy. Now, the mysterious dimming and flickering of the star, which was first discovered in 2011, means that something is passing in front of it. Now, it has puzzled astronomers ever since. But now, as of Friday, this is the first time they've seen it dimming in real time. Now, this presents an extraordinary opportunity to observe whatever it is that is blocking the star's light. Whatever is blocking the star's light, astronomers still don't know what is causing it. It was first reported by The Atlantic last year. Now, the brightness of the star has been observed by dropping by more than 20%, which is a significant change that suggested something massive must be orbiting around it. There were several possible interpretations involving natural cosmic phenomenon, like a buildup of debris from an impact of nearby asteroids. But Ross Anderson previously reported that this explanation would only make sense if the star were young. And it's not. In the early ages of the solar system, including our own, disks of dust would hang around their parent star, for lack of a better word, before eventually being swallowed or shaped by gravity into planets. Such dust would emit detectable infrared radiation. Now, the problem is astronomers haven't observed that around KIC 8462852. That suggests that it may be too old for this hypothesis. Another explanation involves, as I said before, you guessed it, aliens. Now, the irregular light patterns could suggest a collection of megastructures that are orbiting the star. Technological artifacts built by an advanced spacefaring civilization. This time around, astronomers will be able to take spectra from the dimming star, which will tell them what type of material the orbiting objects are made of. It's possible that the data could indicate material of a technological origin. Astronomers said Friday that they will have spectra data for some observatories ready to analyze by Saturday morning, which is, I guess, today. Haven't heard anything. They did say that they do not expect to solve the mystery Saturday, but at that point they will have data to start. Astronomers are eager to throw as much observation time at Tabby's star as possible, and several telescopes around the world regularly track it. Now, astronomers began to notice something might be coming in the telescope data earlier this week. A telescope in the Canary Islands failed Thursday night, and astronomers were forced to wait 10 hours before useful data came through from another one in Arizona. Now, as of the record time of this show, I have found no data whatsoever as to what these telescopes picked up. But I did want to tell you this story because it obviously is a big deal for these astronomers. Again, the theory that it was asteroids or an asteroid belt around the planet is falling apart. It doesn't make sense. So what is it? Is it an alien megastructure? All the futuristic science fiction movies and novels that we have, there is a massive structure around this planet that is essentially a spaceport that docks and undocks ships. Is that what it is? Is it a city around this sun? Who? I don't know. But what I do know is the astronomers of this planet think that something big may be going on around Tabby's star. So I want to hear your thoughts. Is it alien? Is it an asteroid belt? Is it something we just don't understand yet? I will let you know as soon as the data comes in. But before that happens, let's play a game. Let's see what you think, and let's see who is right. So again, www.theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. So now, I want to discuss with you a letter that one of my listeners wrote. This is from Jordan in Arizona. Jordan says, "Hey Tom, I am a new listener to your show, but I love it." And I'd just like to say thank you, Jordan. Every little bit of support helps. She says, "I don't know, I haven't gone back through a lot of your shows, but I don't know if you've talked about shadow people, but I moved into a house about 4 months ago. And ever since then, I feel like I see people all the time. Do you know about shadow people? Have you done a show about shadow people? And what do you think shadow people are? Are they real? Or are they a figment of my imagination?" Well, Jordan, I don't want to sound like I'm condescending, but go through the archives. There are two shows about shadow people. I definitely believe in shadow people, but for the sake of you taking the time, being a new listener, and taking the time to send me a letter, I want to help you. I want to give you what I think and what the general consensus is on shadow people. Now, let's start with the basics. They are shadow beings. They are black masses. They're human shapes. They are typically seen at night and are often viewed out of the corner of your eye. Sometimes they're seen as a simple dark patch. Now, as I mention all the time, I do a lot of research. I've been doing a lot of political research lately. But I always find time to just go through and read accounts of everything paranormal. And this is what I have found out about shadow people. Many of them, for some godforsaken reason, seem to have hats on. Now, I'm not talking baseball hats. I'm talking like fedoras or old-fashioned cloaks and old-fashioned top hats type things. They wear period clothing, and it's a period of old-fashioned type clothing that they seem to be wearing. Now, you can't differentiate between what it is. All you can determine is it seems like they're wearing a hat. They have a human shape to them. But these shadow people, they are aware of us, and they react to us seeing them. They can walk through objects or walls. They are silent. They do not try to communicate or try to speak. They don't have any visible eyes, although occasionally red eyes have been reported. Sometimes they can be 6, sometimes maybe 7 feet tall. They're generally male, although the gender is not obvious. Their form has a depth. It has mass, maybe a 3D shape. They are very, very fast. They seem to move with lightning speed. That's why you seem to see them out of the corner of your eye. You turn, they're gone. A lot of people say that that is tricks of the eye. But too many people see this and have seen it enough to say that wasn't a trick of the eye. There was something there. When a shadow person becomes visible, we usually notice a mist or a fog that comes into view. At that point, the black mass begins to take shape of a person who has no distinguishable features. There's no, for the most part, eyes. They can't see any facial recognition. But now shadow people come in different shapes and different forms. There are several types of them. I have a list I wrote down of a few types of shadow people that, based on what I've researched, I've come to the fact that there's the three most common types of shadow people. The first type is what I call the lingering shadow people. Those are found in homes, many times in bedrooms. They will stand along the edge of the room or in a doorway and just watch. They do not try to communicate. It appears as if they are just observing us. Now, once detected, they will often flee, going through a wall or disappearing around a corner. That's what I saw. They usually have a human form, often wearing a cloak and a hat. These types seem to give us a feeling of fear or dread. I wonder whether it's just a fear of seeing something in the middle of the night and not actually knowing what it was. This class of shadow people is known to attach to one individual and has been known to follow them even if they move. That was the lingering shadow people. Next are what I call the visiting shadow people. Now, this type of shadow person seems to have their own agenda and is not interested in what we are doing, or they typically go from place to place and do not seem to care that we even see them. They are the least understood of the types of shadow peoples that I have researched. They do not appear to want to interact or observe us, as most shadow people do not. Then we have the obvious, the haunting shadow people. This type seems to be tied to a place or a location. Many times there are more than one. It is believed that these types have a strong emotional tie to the location that they are found at. These we see lurking around all haunted locations. Shadow people, in general, are probably the most difficult entities in the paranormal realm to understand. They are beings that exist in our surrounding dimensions, but which ones have crossed over and which ones are earthbound souls? As I've stated, Jordan, on many of my shows, I believe we have multiple dimensions. I believe that when we die, we have a consciousness, or some people call it a spirit, that transcends into another dimension. Ghosts are people that are stuck between two dimensions, between this dimension and the fourth dimension, or the fifth dimension, depending on your beliefs. Shadow people, they fall into a completely different category. I honestly don't know if they are ghost, spirit, energy, if they're demonic, if they're alien, what they are. But they are definitely intelligent. They are aware of their surroundings, and they are aware that we are there. Where sometimes you get a ghost that is completely oblivious to the fact that you are even there. They just go through the motions. Some of these are called memory hauntings. If you have a memory haunting, check the location. If you have a lot of limestone, limestone seems to absorb energy. And that energy may be replaying throughout and throughout. So it may not be a ghost, it's just like a tape recorder. Replaying the same thing over and over and over. But shadow people are different. As with the Black Eyed Kids. And if you haven't heard any of my Black Eyed Kids encounter, Jordan, you need to listen to them. But as the Black Eyed Kids go, so go the shadow people. I've had many investigations with the paranormal group I used to run. Every one of them that had a shadow person, everyone's never came out of it saying, no, I wasn't afraid. Everyone felt uneasy, was fearful, didn't feel right, felt that there was something off about it, that it was evil. The shadow person that I dealt with, evil. Definite evil. So, most people, if not all, have an issue with shadow people being evil, and you need to get rid of them. So how do you get rid of a shadow person? Well, prayer. Whether or not you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're Jewish, you're Hindu, whatever religion you follow, even atheism, prayer or positive thoughts, they often help. You have to have emotional harmony, positivity, grounding in changing your emotional state. If you have a lot of negative energy around you and a lot of negative thoughts, that seems to attract the shadow people. When I had my episode, I was going through a tough time. Financially, I was a mess. My marriage wasn't doing the best. We just had a new baby, and it was just, I was not mentally and emotionally in a good state. And I seemed to draw that negative energy from the shadow person into my being. I think that's what attracted it to me. I now have a completely different demeanor. I try to be more positive. I try to look at things more positively. I'm definitely more grounded. I have changed my emotional state. I no longer have shadow encounters. So it's all about the energy you portray. If you are a negative person, if you have a lot of negative vibes or a lot of negative thoughts coming out of you, you will attract these. You can do a spiritual cleansing. Sage the house. Do something, a blessing of the house. That seems to help. I've done a couple of those, and every single time I've saged or had a priest come in and bless a house, it seems to work. Which makes that, to me, seem more of a demonic, evil spirit type energy that doesn't like the good vibes, the cleansing that is occurring, so they get out. Lastly, leave the lights on. As I stated earlier, shadow people seem to appear more so in the dark. If for some reason or another, lights being on seems to dissipate their energy. So in most people, honestly, they feel that something is there. If you have that feeling, turn the lights on. Shadow people, Jordan, are real. I firmly believe they are real. I think they are demonic, although, again, I don't know. If you have a shadow person, you didn't mention it in your letter, but let me know. Do you feel comfortable around it? Or do you feel kind of uneasy, fearful, like you don't want it to be there? I'm leaning towards their evil. Just for the simple fact, again, nobody I know or ever dealt with has had a very positive or a positive experience at all with a shadow person. So let me know. Let me know what your experience is. You know, you really didn't get into it, and I'd love to hear about that. And for the rest of my listeners, ask me anything. This is the Ask the Paranormal Patriot segment of the show. Ask me anything. Ask me what I think of this, what I think of that, what I think of this. I can't condense everything I want to talk about into one show. What I'm trying to do is right now I find topics that I think you guys would love to listen to. Sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss. What I'm trying to do is get my listeners thoroughly involved in this show. So it is a listener-inspired show from start to end. From beginning to end, I talk about what you, my listeners, are asking me what you want to hear about. A lot of my show ideas come from my listeners, and I appreciate that. But ask me anything. Ask me what I think of UFOs. What do I think are the most ridiculous, who I think the most ridiculous politicians are out there. I don't care. Ask me. Ask me what I think of anything. You know, why does it thunder, Tom? Well, let me tell you, this is what I think. Just ask me. So, the new segment starting, hopefully next week, is Ask the Paranormal Patriot. Send me an email at www.theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. In the subject, just put Ask the Paranormal Patriot in the message box. ask me your question, and I will answer your question on an upcoming show. So when we come back, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. This week's recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. So sit back, get your popcorn ready, because everybody's looking forward to this, as am I. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Balassis, and we will be right back. Hey, everybody, if you haven't done it already, you need to go to Minds.com and sign up for an account. When you do so, follow the Paranormal Patriot and I will follow you back. Minds.com is an encrypted, safe alternative to Facebook. It is your next social media addiction. While Facebook will censor what you say, while Facebook will post the most mundane things. What am I eating today? Here's a picture of it. Minds is more intellectual. You will get news and you will get insights that you never will find on Facebook. All you need to do is go to Minds.com and find out for yourself. Sign up, and again, when you do, follow the Paranormal Patriot. Again, that's Minds.com. Oh yes, it is that time of the show where you, my listeners, are looking for this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. You have taken a dream of mine and turned it into the most popular segment ever on the Paranormal Patriot. I receive dozens and dozens of letters every week commenting on how much you, my listeners, enjoy the Brian Maddow Awards. So it is with pleasure that this week I give to you this week's winner. As I said before, this one has been on the back burner, just waiting for the proper time to give them their due. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today is the day. Today is when they received the most notable award that they could ever imagine. Because how could anybody want anything less than a Brian Maddow Award? So we are going to take it live on location to the Durand Railroad Days for this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award. So without further ado, I send you to Durand, Michigan, and our host, Tom Balassis, for the Brian Maddow Award. Thanks, Tom. We are here in Durand, Michigan at the Durand Railroad Days. Celebrities seem to follow me wherever I go. Amy Schumer is still looking for her career. I don't think she's going to find it. We've got George Clooney still threatening to leave the United States. When, George? It's been 6 months now. Miley Cyrus claiming, hey, I'm much better now. Yeah, that's to be determined. But regardless, celebrities are here. Everybody is waiting to find out who this week's winner of the Brian Maddow Award is. So without further ado, let's get right to it because I don't want to wait any longer. So sit down, be quiet. I need everybody to be quiet, please. We've got the Brian Maddow Award coming up. May I get a drum roll? Quiet. Quiet, please. Drum roll, please. This week's winner is Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez. Oh, I hope it's you women booing Democratic National Chair Tom Oh, my God, he's on. That woman just beat. Oh, she's beating the crap out of him. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Oh. She is pummeling him. Who is this woman? Is that Ronda Rousey? Oh, my God. She's beating the hell out of him. I almost feel bad for Chairman Perez. But nope, I don't. Well, apparently Chairman Perez cannot be here today to accept his award, so I will accept it for him. Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez had the audacity to tell his constituents, to tell the Democratic Party, every Democrat, like every American, should support a woman's right to make her own choices about her body and her health. This is not negotiable and should not change city by city or state by state. So in other words, he told every member of the Democratic Party, if you are not pro-choice, you are not a member of the Democratic Party. Is he going to be all right? I don't see him moving. Can we get a medic? Seriously, I think he might be hurt bad. She beat the snot out of him. She spit on him? Oh. Doesn't surprise me. Tom Perez, the chair, the head of the Democratic National Party, has come out and said, if you are against abortion, you cannot be a Democrat. I think I'm going to cut this short because I think he's hurt pretty bad. I think he might be knocked straight out. I don't see him move. I hope he's not dead. Do we have a medic on the scene? Oh, okay, there's one. Is he moving? Who beat him up? It was a Democrat? Amy Schumer beat him up? You gotta be kidding me. Is she that? She can't be that big of a lunatic. She's pro-choice. No, she's pro-life? So this is what's happening throughout the Democratic Party, is because of his statement, he has alienated so many women? Well, hell, it serves him right. He got the crap beat out of him. All right, that'll be enough. All the time we have at the Brian Maddow Awards. What an eventful night. Hey, he's bleeding from his ears. That's not a good sign. No, put a neck brace on him. He's hurt bad. Yeah. Alrighty, this has been your host, Tom Velasquez. I will be sending it right back to me at the Paranormal Patriot Studios. Tom, right back at ya. You don't mess with Amy Schumer, I'm telling you. Alrighty, Tom. What an eventful night at the Brian Maddow Awards. Chairman Perez, I hope you're alright. Amy Schumer, you need to be in the MMA. That's where you need to find your career. So anyway, that'll be the show for today. I appreciate everybody listening as I always do. I appreciate everybody sharing, commenting, mentioning, liking, retweeting the show. If you can do that, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. I would like to thank the Durand Railroad Days for letting me be on location to record this show. I wish beyond hope that the weather would have been better, but oh well, it is what it is. I guarantee you people still had fun. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. We will be right back next week with another episode. You have been listening to me, Tom Velasquez, on the Paranormal Patriot.